Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, as we continue to look at how Jesus defines what it means to be a Christian, how he defines what it means to be a follower of him, we're going to look at another parable this morning, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And in our text, in our gospel text for today, it's not actually one parable, it's three different parables. Three parables that Jesus is using primarily here to get his disciples ready for what they're about to experience, to prepare them for what they need to accomplish. So Jesus gives them these parables to carry with them and to apply them to themselves in a few different ways. We're going to talk about the different ways, the different applications that we can make from these parables to our lives as well. Here we're going to be reminded about what we truly value in this life. What is the most precious thing in the world to us? And this is part of the depth of God's Word. It's always giving. For those who are in it, we cannot learn all of Scripture. We cannot understand all of it to the point where it has nothing left to give. The more we are in God's Word, the more we learn, the more that we understand about what God has done for us and how he interacts with us in our life. At the end of our text, Jesus asks a question that we're going to think a lot about here this morning today as well. Do you understand all of these things that he's teaching us, even this short little text? We'll think about that as we read. Our text for this morning is from Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 52, and I invite you to please rise for the reading of the gospel. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid again. In his joy, he goes away and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. When he found one very valuable pearl, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When the net was filled, they pulled it onto the shore. They sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, but threw the bad ones away. This is how it will be at the end of the world. The angels will go out and separate the wicked from the righteous who are among them. And they will throw the wicked into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said to them, "Did you understand all these things?" They answered him, "Yes." He said to them, "Therefore, every expert in the law who has been trained as a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his treasure both new things and old things." Dear Heavenly Father, these words are yours, and therefore they are the truth. We ask that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. So do you understand all of these things? It's difficult right off the bat just to say yes, like the disciples do. And I question the validity, the sincerity of their yes. I wonder if it was more an answer that they thought Jesus was expecting or wanting to hear. Because there's a lot in here. There's a lot of different pictures, a lot of different illustrations that Jesus is using. And he doesn't really fully explain any of them. So the first picture that Jesus gives to us is this man who finds a treasure that's buried in a field. And he recognizes the value. He says, "This is an extremely precious and valuable treasure, and I need it. I need to possess it." He doesn't have enough money to buy the field in which this treasure is buried, so he does something extreme. He sells everything that he has. So now he has enough money. He goes and he buys this field, and since he owns the field, he knows that he also owns the treasure that's buried in this field. The second parable is very similar. A merchant goes and finds this valuable pearl, and I have no idea what makes one pearl more valuable than another, but obviously he does, right? And so he recognizes that this is a perfect pearl. This is the most valuable pearl I could buy, but I don't have enough money to get it. So he does that same extreme thing. He sells everything that he had to purchase this, to make that pearl his own. So remember, these are parables that Jesus is using first to teach his disciples and also us. So put yourself in the disciples' shoes for a moment. Think about what they are experiencing, what they're going through, what Jesus is preparing them for. The usual explanation of these two parables is that the person who finds the treasure, the merchant who buys this pearl, is you. It's the believer. It's the disciple of Christ. And you don't buy this treasure. You don't obtain this treasure. You don't give up everything else to get this treasure because you're smart enough or because you're wise enough. It's because the value of this treasure has been revealed to you. Someone came to you and explained to you what makes this treasure valuable enough to give up everything else in your life to obtain, to keep this one valuable thing. That valuable thing, that thing that we talked about in our children's sermon, is faith. It's the knowledge that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, the truth of the gospel that has been revealed to you, that you have a Savior who loves you, that you have a Savior who is the Son of God, who took on human flesh, who lived for you and died for you, who says, here, you take my righteousness and I will take on myself your sin and pay for it. That is the treasure worth anything and everything. Jesus is talking to men who he knows are going to suffer. He knows that the disciples are going to go through a lot of difficulty, that they're going to face so much adversity and so much persecution, that almost to a man, every single one of them would die for proclaiming the message of Christ and him crucified. Jesus knows that once he ascends into heaven, that these are the guys who are going to carry this message, that they're going to be the continuation of the ministry that Jesus starts, that they're going to be used by God to plant the seeds of faith, the seeds of God's word in the hearts of so many people. Jesus warns them about this. He tells them clearly, it's going to be difficult for you. You're going to suffer. You're going to be persecuted. Life will not be easy for you. So Jesus, in this parable, he's calling them to examine their hearts. He's saying, look at yourself. Ask yourself the question, do you understand the value of the treasure that you've been given? Do you understand the value of the treasure that you possess? Do you know how much this pearl is worth? Are you willing to give up everything that you have? Are you willing to even sacrifice your own life in order to hold on to this treasure of faith? To hold on to the kingdom of heaven? To give up everything else and to make this the number one priority in your life? Because this is part of what it means to be Christian. This is part of what defines being a disciple of Christ, putting him as the number one most important thing in your life. Jesus knows that those without faith, without this treasure, we know that they don't see it as a treasure. They see faith as foolishness. And even some who possess it don't truly understand the value of faith. And really, that's a temptation for every single one of us, isn't it? This is a temptation that we fight against every single day. And that's why Jesus gives us these parables to remind us that we need to examine ourselves too. We're tempted to view our time spent together in this room. Time gathered together, encouraging each other, being encouraged, time here on Sunday morning, hearing the word of God, receiving these good gifts from him, receiving on communion Sundays his body and blood, gathering together for fellowship and strengthening one another, having our voices joined together in songs of prayer and praise. We're tempted to view our personal devotion time, our family devotion time, as these things are optional. Right? These are the kinds of things that I fit into my life if it works out. If I have nothing else that's more important to do. If my schedule clears up and then things settle down, then if I have time, I'm gonna, you know, if I find myself in a quiet evening, I'll grab my devotion book and I'll read that. Because the truth is, for every single Christian, even as people who are disciples of Jesus Christ, we are so easily and quickly drawn away by the millions of distractions that this world has to offer, both good things and bad things. Things like entertainment and pleasure and materialism. Even the distractions are like things of worry and distress and fear about earthly, worldly things. When we understand these two parables with this explanation, we know that this is what God is calling us to do. He's calling us to examine our lives, to ask ourselves, is the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world, is this the most valuable thing to us? Is this what we treasure above everything else? Or are there temporary earthly things that have our heart that we have made a priority? Are there hobbies or possessions or vices that through my decisions, through how I spend my time, how I spend my money, how I decide how to use my gifts in this life, Are there things in my life that I have communicated, maybe even unknowingly, that these are more important to me than my God? So understood this way, these parables are harsh condemnation of us, right? They're a call to self-examination. It feels good to know that we have a treasure, right? We know that. That's comforting. It feels good to know that that treasure is stored up for us in heaven, that Jesus has paid for our sins, and that when we die, we get to go to heaven. But these parables don't give us, in this way, a lot of comfort for right here and right now. Right? We know that when we die, we go to heaven, but what about today? What about the things that I'm worried about right now? What about my fears right now? What about the things that are making me sad, the things that cause me distress, my struggles, my pain, the things that weigh heavy on me? What about today? Where is the comfort in our text for right now? The truth is, when we examine ourselves in this way, we don't like what we see. Later on in Matthew, a man comes to Jesus and he asks him about how do you get eternal life? Like, what is the deal with this? How do I receive this gift of eternal life? And Jesus says, go sell everything you have, give to the poor, and then follow me. He tells him to do exactly what is explained here in these parables. That man goes away sad because he knows that he's not capable of this. He's not capable of letting go of everything that is material in this world, and neither are we. Because yes, as disciples, we know what is true wealth. As Christians, we know the value of the gospel. We know the value of faith. But at the same time, we're not just saints, we're also sinners. We have within us this sinful nature, this sinful side of us, and that sinful side of us will always be attached to the things of this world. That sinful side of us, that sinful nature, will always be dragging us away from focusing on this one super valuable treasure towards the millions of distractions of this world. We will fail at always putting God as number one in our life. No matter how rich and wise we are, there's nothing that we can do. There's no amount of possessions we can sell to have enough money to purchase forgiveness. So there's not a lot of room for comfort in this. There's a lot of discomfort as we examine our lives and we see our failures. So instead, let's look at these parables in another way. Let's flip these parables on their heads and look at them in a completely different light. Again, put yourself in the disciples' shoes. And think about these parables not as a call to self-examination, but as this wonderful, rich promise from our Almighty God. Okay, so another way to look at this is to say that the hidden treasure, the valuable pearl, it's not faith, it's not the gospel, it's not the kingdom of heaven. The hidden treasure, that valuable pearl, is you. You are the hidden treasure. You are the valuable pearl. Maybe that makes you feel uncomfortable, because what did we just confess at the beginning of our service? That we are in dread terror of God's holy justice because of our sin. Right? We routinely confess that we are poor and miserable sinners, that there is nothing good inside of us. So how can we be the treasure? But if we are the treasure, it gives us a whole new meaning and it helps us see this in a whole new light. Because if we are the treasure, then who is the one that gave up everything, that abandoned everything that they possessed, who left it all to the side so that they could obtain the valuable treasure of you? It's Jesus. Right? And when we understand the parable this way, think about how much comfort this brings to us. And think about how this same parable can at the same time be this condemning law and then be switched in a moment to this comforting promise of assurance and a promise from our God. Because Jesus is God, and think about what that means. Think about what that means, that he possesses all of the power, all of the glory, all of the might and honor are his by right as the creator and ruler of the entire universe. Right? He possesses everything. And he says, I'm going to take all of this stuff that I possess, all of my glory and all of my power, and I'm going to set that aside because I know that there is something valuable that I need to go get. That's what he does. He sets aside the full use of his divine power, of his glory, of all of that honor, and he becomes one of us. He lives as one of us in order to live for us and to do it perfectly, in order to go to the cross and suffer and die for our sin. He pays for us with his own blood. He buys us back from sin, death, and the devil. Jesus does this because he knows how much you are worth to him. He does all of this because he knows how valuable you are to him, because he loves you. Think about how comforting this is for us. That Jesus went to these lengths to make us his own. That he didn't stop there. He didn't just stop by with his death and resurrection, but that he comes to you personally. And he says, I'm going to make you my own through the waters of baptism. I'm going to plant this faith into your heart that connects you to me. Think about the comfort that this brings us, not just for the end of our life, not just as we close our eyes in death, that someday we're going to be in heaven, but right now, today. Right? Jesus has proven to you how much you mean to him. Jesus has proven to you how valuable you are. He did the most extreme thing possible. God himself took on human flesh. He humbled himself to suffer and die for us. If he did this extreme thing, he's not going to be giving you up. Instead, he is going to walk with you every single day of your life, through every trial, through every temptation, through every sadness, through every single thing that goes wrong, through persecution, through famine, even through death. Jesus walks with you through it all, giving you comfort, giving you encouragement, giving you this peace that surpasses all understanding. And through all of that difficulty, through all that sadness, even if everything else in our life is removed, that is what we still possess. The knowledge that Jesus died for me and that I get to go to heaven, that my God walks with me. And with that, I have joy and I have peace in the middle of a world that's full of sadness and fear. So as the disciples carry on the ministry of proclaiming Christ and him crucified, think about what these parables do for them. It does both of these things, for them and for us, doesn't it? They continue to labor in the fields that they have been entrusted to. They continue preaching Christ and him crucified despite persecution. And they are reminded, yes, this is what you need to value. This is what you need to treasure over and above everything else. It's worth giving up your life. It's worth facing persecution and difficulty, because this is what's valuable. But it's also so much comfort, knowing that Jesus gave up all of this, that he set all of this stuff aside in order to make us his own. And then he follows these two parables up with the last parable in our text, encouraging them to continue to be fishers of men. Cast that net, right? Proclaim the gospel. Go tell people the message that you know is so incredibly valuable. This dragnet is tossed, all of these fish are brought in, and then the fish are separated, the good ones and the bad ones. It's not the disciples' job to discern. It's not the disciples' job to say, this person's going to believe, that person's not. This person is worthy of the gospel, this person is not worthy. Their job is to proclaim the message that Christ has been crucified and risen for the salvation of all who believe. And to trust that God is going to fulfill his promises, that he will handle the rest, that word will not return empty. So do you understand all these things? This is the wonderful and miraculous part about Scripture. It always has more to give. Right? Every time we read it, every time we dig into a story, even if it's a well-known story, there's more that we learn. There's more that is revealed to us by God. And at different times in our life, at different stages in our walk of faith, God's word teaches us in different ways. And we see that here with these two parables. Either these law-filled messages of self-examination, or these comforting words of promise from our God. It can be both. So do you understand these things? The answer is always no. We don't understand all of these things. And as long as we are in these mortal bodies, we're not going to, right? We're not going to understand and get to the bottom of everything that Scripture has to teach us. But as we continue in our walk in faith, as we continue to spend time in God's Word, our understanding absolutely does grow. And as our understanding of God's Word grows through the Holy Spirit, so does our faith. And as our understanding and faith grow, so do the fruits that are produced by that faith. And along with those things come confidence and comfort. And that's what we get as we walk through this life. We get the peace that surpasses understanding, even through difficulty, even through trial, always with our eyes fixed on what has been won for us, on that treasure of eternal life with our Heavenly Father. Amen. Please rise for the blessing. The peace which surpasses all understanding will guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.